That was amazing. Awesome. Don't know about you, but I'm hyper. Buzzing. Do you ever watch that program called Outnumbered, the one with the little kids? And the little lad, he's kind of all over the place as it is. And he was in an airport and he had a double espresso. And he said, I feel like lightning. That's what I feel like this morning. It's great. Awesome. Whew. It settled down a little bit. Brilliant, guys. Thank you. Wonderful. Ah, let's pray. Lord, you are wonderful. You are mighty. You are awesome. And I thank you that we've been able to come before you in worship and praise this morning. And just bring to you how much we love you, Lord. But we thank you that we'd realize it was because you loved us first. And we thank you for that. Awesome. So I thank you for your word, Lord. I pray for understanding, as I do every week, because this is so important. I pray for understanding of this seed as it goes into people's hearts. I pray for understanding so that the enemy can't steal it away. I pray for understanding so that it will produce growth and produce fruit that we all really desire. I pray for understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is our second. Are you okay? Fine. Whew. Just excited about the message. Yeah, hallelujah. Bring it on. This is the second of my Christmas messages. Hallelujah. If you missed last week, there's heaps of them at the back, just behind the other CDs on the table. Help yourself. Please take one. Take one for yourself. Take one for somebody else. Hand them out. Because it was good. Amen. My wife's always right. Well, yeah, who said what? Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's right in a lot of things, especially about doctrine and theology and the Bible and everything. So if she says it was good, it was good. Hallelujah. What did we do last week? We looked at Jesus. Because that is what the Christmas messages should be all about. We looked a little bit about the world and secular view. We looked at the world and secular view really quickly. If you looked at my Facebook page, you'd have seen my little question asking, what do people think about Jesus? Got some really interesting responses. Had some really good chats at work this week. Brilliant. Yeah. Put on your Facebook, what do you think about Jesus? Tell you what, that'll get folk talking. That was good. A lot of people saying he's the Son of God, he's the Christ, he's the Messiah. Other people saying he was a nothing, he didn't even exist, he's irrelevant. He was a good prophet, he was a good teacher, but he was only a bloke. But we looked a little bit at the fact that there's loads of historical evidence to say this guy called Jesus existed 2,000 years ago. He was born and he died on a cross. There's loads of historical evidence to show us that. And then the debate starts. Did he rise again? Did he not? Was he the Son of God? Was he not? Was he God? Was he not? And that's where I stopped looking at the secular view and then went into the Bible. And we looked at, what does the Bible say about Jesus? And we looked at loads and loads of verses that allowed us to come up with a conclusion that Jesus was and Jesus is God. Amen. It is really clear. If I remember rightly, we looked at 1 John 1, the first few verses there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we looked at Genesis 1:1, and we saw that right for the word go, in the beginning God was talking all about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. In the beginning, God. And we saw that that Greek, Hebrew word, God, was this strange concept that is talking about one God, but plural. Remember that? This one God, but plural. That's a really powerful bit of Hebrew. And then we saw, let us. make them in our image. So we saw that Jesus is and Jesus was God. And we saw that Jesus was the agent of creation. Remember, we looked at Hebrews 1:3. We looked at Colossians 1:13-17. Jesus was the one who created everything. Colossians 1:15, I think. Everything was created for him and by him. Or it's the other way around, isn't it? Yeah. Everything was created by him and for him. And there's the problem for a lot of people. They don't want a creator God because there's a responsibility. They were created for him. Not for myself. No, for him. So we saw that. We looked at this amazing Jesus, an amazing God who was the agent of creation. Jesus was the one who put the stars in place. The billions and billions and billions of stars. The awesome things that we look at in the universe, Jesus created them all. Wonderful. Jesus created us. That is a truly awesome and amazing Jesus. But you know what we're going to look at today is even more amazing and awesome. Because that Jesus, the agent of creation, the King of the universe, the Lord of lords, the creator of everything, came and dwelt among us. And we could just finish the message there, because that's what the message is. Well, I don't know what it is. I've got five passages of scripture. I just want to take them one at a time and just look at them and see where we go with this message. But that is the crux of it. This amazing God that we've sung about, this Jesus, came and lived here. That is awesome, Gordon, isn't it? Came and lived here. And do you know why? For you. And for you. That is the most amazing thing, because I sit and think about that. Jesus, Lord of Lords, King of the universe, Lord of creation. And then I think about me. It's not that funny, Gordon. You know, and then I think about me. And the kind of things I've thought and the kind of things I've done on my 46, almost 47 years so far. And he loved me so much that God came down onto this earth and suffered for me. And you guys need to think that as well about yourselves. Not that you're as horrible as me, but that Jesus came down for you. That is awesome. That is the real Christmas message. Remember I told you last week this saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. I don't believe that. You are the reason for the season. He only came because of you. He came for you. And we'll see that in some of the scriptures we're looking at today. So let's turn to the Word and see what it says about this Jesus who was God that we saw last week. Did he really come to earth? Did he really become a man? Did he really come down here? John 1. Let's start there. We looked at John 1 last week. I think we did 1-5. But we'll read it all again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We saw that I was speaking about this term called the Logos. And we know that, speaking about Jesus, everybody agrees on that. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Again, I love the repetition in the scripture. He made everything, and there was nothing that was made that he didn't make. It's like it's hammering it home to you. This is the agent of creation, this Logos, this Jesus. He made everything. In him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jump on to 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's a sad couple of verses, isn't it? I read that, and it does make me sad. That Greek word, world, we've used that quite a lot. That's cosmos. What does that mean? Not just the earth, but who else? What else? Everybody in it. He was in the world. He was in with people. Those people were made by him. And most folk know him not. Quite sad. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. You can interpret that in a couple of ways. A lot of folk interpret it as he came to the Jewish nation, and the Jewish nation didn't receive him. But I interpret that as us. He came unto his own. Who did he make? Us. By him, for him. We are his own. And his own received him not. But then the good news. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Nothing you need to do other than have belief on Jesus. And you become a son of God, and you become an heir, and you get adopted, and you get his inheritance. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then here we come to it. And the word, the Logos, that was in the beginning, that was with God and was God, that Logos, that word, was made flesh. Wonderful. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and crying, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Awesome. Awesome few lines of scripture. And the word, that Logos, became like us. Was given a human body. Became a man. And dwelt among us. That is wonderful. Came and lived here on earth. I can't emphasize it enough, guys. Do you get how awesome that is? Do you really, truly understand that? We can all sit here and say, oh, you know, Christmas time. Oh, yeah, Jesus came to the earth. No, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But do you really, truly get the depth of that? God Almighty himself came as a man and dwelt among us. That, I just can't find the words to express how amazing that is. I keep thinking about the universe. You know, I love science and all of that, and I love looking at the stars and knowing the complexity of what's up there. That God that created all that just by the power of his words. These stars came out of his mouth. That God, Marge, became like you. Wonderful. That was a compliment, not an insult. See, what we do not do enough is personalize the scriptures for us. Yes. Oh yeah, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. No. The Logos, Almighty God, the creator of the universe, became a man like me and came and lived on the earth like me. And he came here for me. And he came here because he loved me. And he came here to save me. Well, look at verses. He came to save us from our sin. He came to bring peace from God. He came to bring us healing and wholeness and prosperity and peace. for you. And you need to sit there and say, for me. And really personalise it. Ah, yeah, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How many times have we said that? You open up a Christmas card, oh, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, excellent. Where's the next? Put it on the mantelpiece. Where's the next one? You know, I don't think we get the... I can't think of the words. The depth that... Is there a word? Awesomeness? Yeah? The enormity. I don't think we get the enormity of what these words are saying sometimes. And the sad thing is, the Jewish nation should have kent he was coming. Because it was all written down for them. He came unto his own, and this thing, I get the sense of the Jewishness here. He came unto his own received him not. They all knew the scriptures off by heart. They knew these scriptures in Isaiah 9. They knew them off by heart. I still need to go to them. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You get one of the Christmas messages last year, I think it's when I preached about these verses. This is talking about his humanity and his divinity, his deity. A child is born. It's talking about his humanity. A son is given. It's talking about him being God and Father God handing over his son. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. I want to sing it out like Messiah, Handel's Messiah. Don't you? Can you hear it? Or maybe you can sing it. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah wrote about 700 years before the birth of Christ. He's coming. He also wrote in 7:14. We all know these verses. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That is a powerful, powerful passage of scriptures. Because see, if the Jewish nation really understood that, they'd have all been clamoring at Jesus' door. They'd have known who he was. Because that word Emmanuel is a Hebrew word that means God with us. Or there's two meanings. The other one is with us is God. God with us. With us is God. The coming of Jesus, there's loads of stuff in the Old Testament saying he's coming. And next week we'll look at a little bit more. And the scriptures themselves told people that it was going to be God. God with us. Don't know how they missed it. Don't know how they missed it. And it's just wonderful. 700 years before Christ came along, or before, that's not right. He was always here. He didn't come along. He was always here in the beginning. But before he was born as a baby and born as a man, this was written out. And that's been documented as well. You know, the Old Testament, everybody, there's no scholar now that will say, well, folk just wrote it after the event. You know, it was all there, written out for them, prophesied in the Old Testament. And then we see it happening in the New. Let's go to Matthew 1. You're all awful quiet today. Are you getting the enormity of it all? Matthew 1, and we'll read from 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And here's why he came. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. There's a lot of times when you look at scriptures and you have to puzzle over the words and go into the Greek and go into the Hebrew and look at all these concordances. But this is a really good verse because it gives you the interpretation. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So there's a confirmation of the prophecy that was written 700 years ago. Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Do you know that Jesus in there is the Greek word Iesus. Iesus is how it's pronounced. And it means, I'm going to make sure I get this right, Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah, another word for God. Even his name tells us what his mission is, tells us what he's going to do. This baby is God. And not only is he God, but he's your salvation. Yeah, Jehovah is salvation. That's what Jesus means. You know, what is it you say? When you look at pictures and names and all that, you kind of make this stuff up. You look at what's written in the Bible and the way the words mean different things. Correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, but Sean said at the end of the message last week, in the beginning God created. And at that word created, it's a Hebrew word and it has a picture associated with it. And that picture is of a carpenter. Of a carpenter. So even the pictures of the letters and the words mean something. And I tell you what, the folk back then weren't that clever to make it up. Just as we are near that clever to interpret it. They needed the Holy Spirit back then to tell them what to write. We need the Holy Spirit just now to interpret it. But, it's awesome. In the beginning, God created. It's a picture of a carpenter. And here, we're given this picture through the name of Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. And then just in case you didn't understand the Greek, or you didn't know the Greek, just in case you don't understand the original language that it's written in, it says, for he shall save his people from their sins. I mean, as if you didn't, if you haven't got the picture, you can get it explicitly. He shall save his people from their sins because he is Jehovah and he is salvation. He is God come to save you. That's what these verses are saying. They are awesome. wonderful. Let's go back to Isaiah 9 again. I just want to pick up on something while I remember. I'd written down the Hebrew word for one of the words in this verse. Because one of my favorite passages of scripture is Luke 2, talking about on earth peace. And Isaiah 9, verse 6, talks about this child that's going to be born, this son that is going to be given. It talks about him being the Prince of Peace. And this whole concept about peace is something that the world and the church has got hugely wrong when looking at the Christmas story and looking at the birth of Jesus and why did Jesus come. This word peace is the Hebrew word shalom. Now, it does mean peace when they're fighting, but that's just one meaning. It also means completeness, welfare, safety, health, and literally prosperity. It's what that Hebrew word means. It says Jesus is going to be the Prince of Peace. And because he came to save people from their sins and to bring them their salvation, we get to have this shalom, this peace, completeness, welfare, safety, health, and prosperity. Awesome. Let's go to Luke 2 while we're thinking about that. I'm just going through these verses that talk about Jesus coming as a man. It was prophesied, then we see it happening. And we'll read Luke 2, 8, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I quite often say this. I love that Greek word, all. Do you know what it means? All. Hallelujah. To the exclusion of nothing. Love it. For unto you is born. So who did Jesus come for then? If it was me, well done, Dave. Yeah. Don't exclude yourself. Great joy, which shall be to all people, which shall be to the exclusion of no one. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You've heard me speak about this a number of times. One of the most misinterpreted passages of scripture. Jesus didn't come to bring peace on earth. Jesus didn't come to bring peace on earth. Do me a favor, if you do Christmas cards, don't send a Christmas card that says peace on earth. It's unbiblical. Not right, it's theologically unsound. Next week you'll see that nearly all our Christmas cards are theologically unsound. Because yeah, I'm going to do that next week, Carol. Where was I going? On earth, peace. On earth, peace. This is a bit like the shalom word. It does mean peace as in nae fighting. But I think we could all agree, if Jesus came to bring peace on earth, he fell flat on his face and failed big time. Did Jesus come to earth, fall flat on his face and fail big time? So this is not talking about peace on earth, is it? Nunzi reminded me of a verse the other day, Matthew 10:34. And I said I was going to speak about this. Use that verse, Vic. Use that verse. So I will do. Matthew 10:34. Jesus speaking, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth." Oh! He said it. "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth." Don't send Christmas cards that says peace on... No. doesn't really say that in my version. I'm not going to go into the whole next bit because that's a whole different message. But I came not to send peace but a sword. Now, he wasn't speaking literally. He don't want us to take up our swords. Okay, we'll not go into that. But what that verse says is, Jesus himself said, because the Lord knows the beginning for the end. He knew he would have to say, "I come not to send peace on earth," because he knew we'd get the wrong end of the stick. He didn't come to send peace on earth. He came to bring peace to earth in the form of goodwill from his Father. That's what that verse says. If we go back to Luke 2. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." What type of peace? What is this peace? What does that peace mean? "Goodwill toward men." Yes, he came to bring peace because he is the Prince of Peace. He came to bring peace. But he came, remember, he came for us. He came because of us. He came to bring peace to us from the Father God. He came to bring goodwill from Father God to the cosmos, to all men. That Greek word goodwill means delight, kindness, and good pleasure. It doesn't stand out with the kind of judgment stuff that a lot of folk preach. No, he came to bring goodwill, delight, kindness, and good pleasure. He came to bring about reconciliation. That's what he came. He came to bring about reconciliation. He came to bring about this atonement that had to be done to deal with the sin issue. Deal with the sin issue. Because you see, there was an issue. There was an issue with sin. And we could do nothing about it. Not a thing. Absolutely nothing. I mean, there was nothing that you guys done or did. What's the right grammar? Did. There's nothing that you guys did. Listen to this carefully. Other than being born to make you a sinner. Something had to deal with that. Someone had to deal with that. You couldn't. There was nothing that you could now do to make yourself a saint other than being born again. Jesus came because somebody or someone had to deal with a sin issue. Is that what we saw in Matthew? What was it again? Matthew 1? Matthew 1:18, 19, 21. "And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus," Jesus, Jehovah is salvation, for he shall save his people from their sins. It's, if you rightly divide the word and look at loads and loads of different scriptures and wrap them all up together, you'll see that Jesus came to bring peace, came to bring goodwill, came to deal with the sin issue. Because you guys, us guys, we could do nothing about the sin issue. Nothing. Let's have a quick look at Romans 5. I think. Yeah. Romans 5:18. Therefore, as by one offense of as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, and it wasn't yours, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, and that's not yours, shall many be made righteous. Verse 12, whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Then it goes on to verse 18, therefore by the act of one man. Do you see the way it says one man? But the Logos came. Almighty God came as a man. So he dealt with it. He could deal with it. That's why he came, so that we might be saved from our sin. Wonderful. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the Logos, came and dwelt among us because he was the only man that could deal with sin. One man's fault that it came in. It's going to be one man's work that deals with it. Jesus Christ. Jehovah is salvation. You shall be saved. Now the people shall be saved from his sins. And we all know what that word saved is, don't we? Sozo. Healing and wholeness. Joy and peace. It's the word that's translated as saved, but it's also the word that's translated as be made whole. Also the word that's translated as healed. See, a lot of people think Jesus came to deal with their sin so they could get a ticket into heaven. And that's their Christianity. That's it. He did that. But he did so much more. You look at what that word peace means. Look at what that word sozo means. Yeah, he came to save us from our sins. And in a sense, yeah, he did that 2,000 years ago and we've got our ticket into heaven. But in terms of healing and wholeness and joy and peace, he's doing that every day. And we've got that every day. We are moving into our salvation every day. Moving out of illness and into healing is moving into the salvation that Jesus Christ came to give you. He didn't come just for a ticket into heaven. He came to give you so much more than that. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Completeness, the Prince of Welfare, the Prince of Safety, the Prince of Health, and the one that a lot don't like, the Prince of Prosperity. The P word. Now, if you have got an issue with that, take completeness, take welfare, take safety, take health. We can work on the prosperity bit as we're going along together. Please don't get hung up on that. And it's almost like, oh, yeah, I don't want that, it's not right, and you kind of lose the rest. Try not to get hung up on that. Completeness, welfare, safety, health, and prosperity. He is the Prince of all those. And he came to bring that from God to you. Peace, goodwill toward men. He didn't come to bring peace on earth. He came to take peace from God and give it to us. Because we know, I've said it before, sin was the issue. Sin was that barrier. Sin was our separation between us and God. No one could go into the Holy of Holies where God dwelt because of their sin. They had to have the atonement sacrifice, and only the priest could go in to that tabernacle, to the Holy of Holies. Do you know what it says? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Do you know dwelt means tabernacled? He has come and he has dwelt in us. As well as coming onto the earth, the picture there is of a tabernacle, and he is dwelling in us as well as among us. That God who created everything, because of him coming onto the earth and doing what he did, means he can now tabernacle in you. He can now dwell in you. That deserves one amen. It's just awesome. How can you do that? Or how can that happen? Because the sin issue has been dealt with. The sin issue has been dealt with. I want to take you through my favourite picture of the moment to kind of highlight this. Let's go to John. And is it 2? Is it John 1? John 1. Yeah, John 1. And we know, don't we, that baptism, getting water baptized, doesn't save you. Okay, you might think I'm going way off track here, but I've not. Water baptism is a picture, it's symbolic of being born again. Yeah, it's a picture of you go under the water, you die with Christ, the old self is gone, you raised again out of the water into new life. It's a picture of your new born again spirit. You all know this? It's a picture of death and a picture of resurrection. And that's for us. And it's the same for Jesus. When Jesus got baptized, that was a picture of his death and then his resurrection. Okay? So Jesus' baptism is a picture of his death and his resurrection. The next day, this is verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, And upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now, it doesn't say it here, but in all the other three Gospels, if you rightly divide the word, it says that John baptized Jesus at this point. Okay? So Jesus was baptized here. And again, the next day after John stood, remember this, the baptism is a picture of his death and his resurrection. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold! The Lamb of God. Now, do you see what's missing from the first one? Which taketh away the sins of the world. The sin of the world. Jesus' baptism is a picture of his death and his resurrection. Before he was baptized, before he was killed on the cross, there was an issue with sin. And he came to take that issue away. After his baptism, which is after a picture of his death and his resurrection, John just says, oh, behold, the Lamb of God. Why? Because sin's not an issue anymore. He doesn't need to say, oh, he's going to take away the sin of the world. Because this is a picture of the cross, his death and his resurrection. Right from the start, everything is pointing to Jesus as being the answer to sin. And the answer to sin as a man. The only perfect man that has ever walked the face of the earth. The only man who has ever fulfilled the law. The only man who could ever deal with a sin issue. Everything is pointing towards that. His baptism, he's going to take away the sin of the world before his baptism, after the baptism. Well, Jesus. No mention about sin. When he's born, it's all about what he's going to do. Even his name, Jesu, Jehovah is salvation. For he shall save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. That picture, when John was saying, behold the Lamb of God, is very important. It's a very important picture to the Jewish nation. It's a very important picture to us about Jesus being the sacrificial lamb. And that's where we'll go next week. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, you are awesome. You are wonderful. You are so mighty. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that Jesus was the plan for our salvation. I thank you, Lord, that it pleased you to bruise him. It pleased you to crush him for our salvation. It pleased you to forsake him so that we might be accepted. I thank you, Lord, that it pleased you to crush him so that we might be made whole and set free from disease and illness. I thank you so much for the finished work of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.